Good evening. The time is 8 p.m.
QST, QST, QST. Calling all radio amateurs. This is K4EI, activating the Falkir Amateur Radio Association Technical Service Net. This net is held every Sunday at 8 p.m. local time on this W4VA repeater located in Warrenton, Virginia. This repeater is owned and operated by the Falkir Amateur Radio Association and uses a PL tone of 167.9 Hz for access. If anyone listening would like additional information, please see our website at w4va.org. The purpose of this net is to provide a forum for all licensed hams, FARA members or not, for general discussion and Q&A regarding topics such as operating procedures, communications modes, technical activities, radios, antennas, computer software, and similar information related to amateur radio. This is K4EI. My name is Jeff, Juliet Echo, Foxtrot, Foxtrot, and I'll be your net control this evening. First of all, we've got a couple of quick announcements. We've got our Muscle Club breakfast coming up on Saturday, 9:30, September 30th at 8 a.m. or thereabouts at Falkir Hospital Bistro. So looking forward to some folks there. We had a great meeting, monthly club meeting last Thursday, and then we'll have the next one coming up October 12th, again at 7:15 p.m. at the Path Foundation building, or via WebEx if you can't make it in person. And then finally, we've got a VE test session scheduled for October 21st at 9:30 a.m. at the Central Rappahannock Regional Library, the Porter Branch, and that's at 2001 Parkway Boulevard in Stafford, Virginia. If you need any other details on these items, please visit our website again at w4va.org. Are there any other announcements that anyone would like to share? If so, please call now. Okay, hearing none, let's go ahead and get some check-ins. I'm going to ask that that when you give your call, please give it in a measured, even cadence. I'm writing by hand, and I don't write really fast, so give it to me in an even cadence if you would. Let's take EchoLink first, EchoLink only. Please call now.
Whiskey 4, Victor Fox Whiskey, Irwin, Tennessee, over.
Okay, I've got Whiskey 4, VFW in Tennessee. Glad to hear you, Rob. Are there any other EchoLink check-ins? All right, let's go to mobile only. Any mobile check-ins, please call K4EI now.
Hey, this is Kilo Oscar 4, Quebec, Victor Bravo, Louis from Woodbridge.
Okay, I've got KO4QVB. Louis, got you in there. Any other mobiles, please call now.
This is KQ4ETO. This is Brandon from Manassas.
Very good, Brandon. Is that KQ4 Echo Tango Oscar?
That's correct.
Very good. Any other mobile stations? Okay, let's go ahead and get general check-ins. Please call K4EI now.
4 Lima Kilo Papa.
K1 Hotel Tango Victor.
K2PI.
Whiskey 4 Romeo Kilo Uniform.
K4 SFT in and out.
November, Bravo, 3, Alpha.
K4QWB, Car.
Victor, November, Zulu, Chuck in Opal, no comments.
Whiskey, Bravo, 7, Romeo, Alpha, Victor, no comments.
Okay, let's hold it there for a second. Let's see, the first station, I did not copy, but I right after that first station, I got K1HTV, K2PI, W4RKU, K4SFT, in and out, NB3A, and then there was a station after that which I didn't get, and then Chuck, if you could come back with your call again, and then the last station I got is WB7RAV, no comment. So the first station only that they came in before Rich, can you please come back?
Kilo Oscar 4, Lima Kilo Papa, Glenn, Chancellorsville.
It's KO4 Lima Kilo. What was the last?
Lima Kilo Papa.
Roger, roger. Okay, we got KO4 LKP. Apologies for this, guys. My writing is terrible, so I'm doing the best I can. Okay, let's see. The KD4 station. Can you please come back?
Yes. Kilo Zulu 4 Tango Whiskey Bravo.
Okay, it's KZ4 TWB.
That is correct. My name is Tim, and I'm in Reston.
Thank you, Tim. Hey, Chuck, what's your call again?
This is Kilo Oscar 4 Victor November Zulu. You're doing a good job, Chuck. I'm no comment tonight. Over.
All right, very good. Thanks, Chuck. And then the last one I've got on the list is WB7RAV, no comment. So other check-ins for the net, please call K4EI now.
Alpha Delta 4 India Whiskey, Bob, no comment.
Kilo Quebec 4 Echo Uniform India, Mike in Amosville.
Whiskey 8 Bravo Tango.
Okay, I've got AD4IW, no comment. And KQ4, is that Echo Uniform India, Mike?
That's correct. KQ4 Echo Uniform India.
Okay, and I've got W8BT. Any other check-ins, please call now.
This is K4 Golf Victor Hotel, K4 GVH. We'll wait.
Okay, K4 GVH.
K4 Golf Victor Hotel, K4 GVH. Robert, and you can pick me up when you get around to it.
Very good, Robert. I've got you in there. All right, hang tight, guys. Okay, one little news item that I came across I wanted to share is from last week, dated September 9th. It says the Bridgerland Amateur Radio Club, or BARC, in northern Utah provided an amateur radio communication support during the Low-Toe-Jaw, the longest one-day USA cycling-sanctioned bicycle race in America. The Low-Toe-Jaw course consists of 200 miles of rough, mountainous terrain, and the club's involvement with Low-Toe-Jaw began in 1991 when the race had 200 riders and 14 amateur radio operators. This year's event had 1,700 riders and 120 amateur radio operators, including 35 cars with amateur radio operators along for the ride. The youth coordinator for the ARRL Utah section and former BARC president, Kevin Reeves, N7RXE, said the teams deployed two mountaintop portable repeaters using batteries and solar power, three portable digipeaters, and a portable iGate throughout the race course, in addition to setting up four net control centers. Reeve explained this provided continuous audio and an APRS system for the 35 cars covering the entire event. Reeve went on to say that this year a family needed to contact one of the riders because of an emergency. He stated that there was no cell phone coverage, but we were able to locate the cyclist in about 5 minutes, then reunite them with their family in about 15 minutes. So with fair support for the Great Pumpkin Ride coming up in several weeks, I just thought that was an interesting bit of news, albeit on a much, much larger scale. As far as the topic this evening, I thought we might talk about AGC, or Automatic Gain Control. AGC has been part of receiver circuitry since the early days of radios, of course. Taking widely varying input signal strengths and mediating their output into a narrower, more reasonable dynamic range was central to making listening to radio a pleasant experience. And so even the cheapest commercial radio is going to have AGC built in. Most of the rigs that we use in AM radio are a bit more sophisticated, of course, and often have controls for modifying AGC behavior or turning it off altogether. So that brings us to the question of when operating, how do you use AGC? Do you leave it on all the time? Do you run it with your rig's defaults? And if you modify or tweak its behavior, how so, and are there certain scenarios under which you do that? So perhaps consider speaking to this when your turn comes around, in addition to letting us know what other ham radio things you've been involved with in the last week or so. With that, we'll send it down to Tennessee to W4VFW, Rob via Echolink. Over to you from K4EI.
Well, good evening, and thanks for running the net. Nothing technical to speak of this week. My shack is pretty much in order, but I've got two acquisitions this week that I really like. One is a Zenith Transoceanic H500. Mine was made in 1951. And it's got all the shortwave bands up to about, I think, 18 megahertz, plus the broadcast band. It's been completely rebuilt, and it looks like it just came out of the box, and it works like a charm with the extra-long telescopic antenna that comes with it. I also have a 1940 Sears Roebuck Silvertone AM radio in a walnut cabinet that works like a charm, and you get that old-time AM, not like what you get today on most of these radios. That's all I got. It's a pleasure to be here, and I hope everybody has a good evening. God bless from Robin Irwin, W4VFW.
Well, thanks for that, Rob. I'm impressed, and I'm jealous about your Zenith. Boat anchors are certainly an iconic part of our hobby, and I don't have any tube type rigs right now, but at some point I hope to. So at some point in time when I have enough space to expand a station to where I could have something like that. So, but in the meantime, enjoy that equipment and that new rig, and keep us posted on how you're getting along with it.
I certainly will. Thanks a lot. It's good to be here, and again, God bless everybody. W4VFW.
Very good. Thank you, Rob. All right, let's send it over to Kilo Oscar 4 QVB. Louie, over to you from K4EI. Kilo Oscar 4, Quebec, Victor, Bravo. Louie, are you there? Okay, no copy on Louie. Perhaps he's moved out of range. He was mobile there. Okay, KQ4ETO, Brandon, over to you from K4EI.
All right, well, thanks for running the net. This is only the second net I've ever joined, so I'm still learning as I go. I don't know much about AGC. I wouldn't know how to adjust it on my HT that I'm on right now, so I'm hoping to learn more. What I've been working on this week is research and building a J-pole antenna, and wanted to throw a question out if some of the smarter guys on the net can answer for me. I'm looking at building the J-pole antenna with either copper tubing, as I've seen in some tutorials, or just regular fence wire. And I don't know if one or the other would give me the advantage, so any advice would be surely appreciated. Other than that, I'll turn it back over to Annette. Thanks again.
All right, well, thank you there, Brandon. Well, we appreciate you checking in, and hope you check in again. So, I'm sure that you'll get the antenna sorted out there. As far as the J-pole, I mean, a copper tubing is frequently used, but I'll let other folks step in with their thoughts as they come around. So, thanks again for checking in this evening. With that, let's send it over to Kilo Oscar 4, Lima Kilo Papa. Glenn, over to you from K4EI.
Yeah, good evening. Thanks for the net. Pretty good radio week here. I just got off. I was pleased to see 10 meters was open, and I had some good South America contacts today. Also, I'm having a little fun with this Route 66. There's some kind of a radio activations out west with Route 66. So had a little fun with that today. Talking to you on a battery, so I'm testing this battery, hoping it holds up, but I'm trying to get ready for, so I can be in different kind of radio events like field days, POTAs and whatnot. So trying to get geared up for a portable operation, which leads to a question. I'm thinking about doing dipole antenna, but can you do that with a steel center point? I was going to do an inverted V, and I was wondering if you could do that with steel tubing as the center support. So that's my question for the night. The gain control on my 7300, ICOM 7300, I was advised by YouTube to turn it all the way up, and I found out that does not work. Sometimes you got to turn the gain down because the noise is too much. So I'm still playing with that, but I turn the gain up and down quite a bit based on the noise, the background noise. And with that, I'll send it back to Net. KO4LKP, back to Net.
Well, thank you there, Glenn. KO4LKP from K4EI. And yeah, the battery and getting set up for portable is certainly a fun thing to do. A lot of different antennas a lot of guys use, when they're doing that. Justin NB3A, who's a little bit down, further down on the list, may have some other comments on that. As far as the dipole, yeah, a steel should work. I mean, anything metallic, as long as you get the right length, I would think would work okay. So, and as far as the gain, when you're moving that up and down to mediate noise, you're probably talking about the RF gain. As opposed to the AGC, but yeah, you're smart to do that. I do that as well. It's one of the more powerful controls we have to mediate noise. With that, let's send it to our antenna expert, Rich, K1HTV.
Yeah, this is K1HTV, and Amos Biffle. A couple questions. The J-pole, if you're going to support it from something like some sort of vertical mast or a standpipe on the roof or something, the metal one will support itself. If you're going to hang it from a tree or a branch, you might want to try the ladder line version, 450 ohm ladder line. There are a number of internet construction articles. Just Google 2 meter J-pole ladder line, L-A-D-D-E-R line, and you'll see a couple of good ways to build them inexpensively, and something you can support. You can put a rope on the end of it, pull it up to a tree, have some sort of support so the coax doesn't pull out the bottom, but yank out the connection. But that's one way. As far as the steel pole, since you're supporting an antenna with a very low impedance at the V point, like a center fit inverted V, nominally low impedance, that metal will have no effect at all. What you do have an effect on is when you start running the end of an antenna, which is very high impedance or very high voltage at the end of a long wire antenna, and you support it from a wire, it'll couple to that, and it'll effectively lengthen the length of the wire. So you might think it's resonant on one frequency, it might be resonant quite a bit lower. So try not to support the end of a wire close to a metal pole of some sort. As far as AGC, I run my AGC fast on CW, fast on FT8, and most of the times slow on sideband. If I'm a rag chew, it's much more comfortable to listen to. But for contest, probably also fast on for FT8 for a single sideband for phone contests. The air conditions have been excellent the past couple of days, and also mentioning the FT8 activity, which ended at 8 p.m. or 0:00 Zulu today, so that's all over. I missed W6O, W6Q, and W6U. I got them all except those three. I did hear the U from Illinois, but just couldn't make it on 15 meters. The skip was long. He was in Illinois. It just didn't work out very well. For special calls on the air for DX special events, 8Z93 November Delta is the 93rd National Day of Saudi Arabia. I assume it's the 93rd year, maybe. TC100 Yankee Radio, Tango Charlie 100 Yankee Radio, is the 100th anniversary of the Republic of Turkey. And he's been on a number of bands. The station's been quite active. The expedition is now active from Nauru Island, Charlie 21 Tango Sugar, Nauru, which is east of Australia, very good signals on 15 and 10 meter FT8. And VP6, Mike Whiskey, Meralda Warren, who's on Pitcairn Island, is active on mostly on 12 meters, although I did see her on 15 the other day. So some good DX expeditions going on. Saturday conditions are excellent in the evening. Worked into Australia, New Zealand, Japan, China, Korea. Very good conditions on 10 meters. You don't see that those conditions that good when it happens. If you're there, there's DX to be worked. Friday, 30 meters was a surprise between 7 and 8 in the morning. With the numerous JA stations, just a pipeline of JAs coming through. Two stations active in Albania, ZA/KN9 Lima and ZA/DL3KZA. Interesting to see two different people vacationing in Albania and operating. I think that covers all the bases. Thanks for doing the net, Jeff. Back to you. This is K1H TV.
Well, thanks for all that, Rich. A lot of information there, and yes, sounds like you've been busy. You've been hitting the whole planet. So it's always great to hear. So again, appreciate all your help and your information there. With that, let's Harv, your fantastic presentation on Thursday was really terrific. I've ordered one of those little T-Echo nodes, so it's got to come from China. It's going to be a while before it gets here, but hopefully I'll get a node up here somewhere not too far down the line. So with that, K2PI, over to you from K4EI.
Yeah, K4EI and Annette from K2PI. Okay, Jeff, that's great news, and thanks for doing that. I think it's going to be fun to have people joining the mesh and expanding it. Yeah, if you order from LilyGo, that company, they when you look up slow boat to China in the book on aphorisms, I think you find a picture of their facility because it certainly is a while. The ones that I gave away at the meeting actually took me over 2.5 months to receive in the mail. So don't be surprised if it takes a little while. China Post will let you track it, but boy, when it gets in the U.S., it goes down a memory hole somewhere and takes a while to get to you. Anyway, this was a kind of busy week. I had a lightning strike on the 9th nearby the house. It wasn't on the house. It was on the ground, probably maybe in one of the yards nearby, and it induced a surge in the underground power lines. Took out a bunch of equipment for me. I'm still doing some detective work to try to figure out how it made it into the shack. And there's things that weren't connected to anything that blew, like my garage door opener. One of my garage door openers was totaled. It completely blew. So that'll tell you that it was a nearby lightning strike with EMP-like levels of power. The motherboard in the PC, actually here in the shack, also blew. It was totaled. The CPU inside, I totaled that, and the memory as well, because I couldn't trust either after having been fried like that, so I wasn't going to trust them to do anything with my data. So I replaced the motherboard, the CPU, and all the memory in that PC, as well as the power supply, because I also couldn't trust that. I had an AirSpy HF Discovery that was connected up to a protected and grounded at the time antenna, and that was totaled. I had an SDR Play RSP-1 that was connected also to another protected antenna that was off the back of my K3 acting as a pan adapter, and that was totaled. My IC705 that I'm talking on right now, the USB port is inoperative on it. It's going to have to go back to the shack. I thought the K3 had a problem, but fortunately, I was listening to it on another receiver thinking I was hearing distortion, but when I took out my tiny spectrum analyzer and really put it through its paces and looked, it's very clean, so not a problem there. And I had two power supplies for PIs that died. Two power supplies on PIs that died, one on my PIAware, my ADSB receiver, and another on the GOS receiver that I have. So that's a lot of stuff, and I hope I found all of it by now. I've tested everything else in the shack. Everything else seems to be working, so no idea whether any of the components have been stressed enough, but I guess I'll find out in time. So got all of that stuff going, and I was able to salvage some things from the old PC, including the sound and the video card and the serial port card. Regarding the question on building a J-pole out of wire or tubing, I know Rich had something to say. There really is no advantage to the tubing. If the tubing is large enough at certain frequencies, you get a bit of a bandwidth increase, but I don't think that's practical at 2 meters. Wire would be fine, and Rich gave you great ideas about how to construct it. The person asking about stainless steel in the dipole, there won't be any issues with that either, as has already been said, but, you know, electrons can be moved out of any conductor. The difference is you want to make sure the metal-to-metal contact points, where the dissimilar metals touch, you could create a voltage, and then corrosion will happen because the current will flow between the two of them. So you have to pay attention to where your stainless steel is contacting copper, et cetera, because there's a lot more electrons in the copper ready to flow, and that's going to create a little bit of current across that point. You may want to do some things to mitigate that, and you can solder it across. Anyway, back to that K4EI, K2PI.
Well, thanks, Harv, K2PI from K4EI, and sorry to hear that you experienced all that laundry list of damage, Harv. But it's not surprising. Lightning, if it's close enough, then all bets are off. So you do what you can in terms of design and so on, but there are so many potential vectors via which voltage can ingress into a place that it's really, really hard if it's really, really close. Years ago, I was an outside plant person with the Bell system back before they broke that up, and I saw a number of really remarkable after effects from lightning strikes, and it's truly astounding what it can do. So sorry to hear that you're having to work through that, but it sounds like you've pretty much got your arms around it. Let's see, Kevin, W4RKU, over to you from K4EI.
W4EI, W4RKU, in the net. Good evening. My God, I can't believe I just based on your name. Jeff, how you doing? Thanks for doing the net tonight. It was regarding AGC, I don't really have a lot of, all I know is on my TS-2000, it has to be on in order for the S-meter to work. So, I just leave it on all the time, and I don't mess with it, and it does its thing. I found no need to mess with it, and as you mentioned, the RF gain is a whole different story. For the first person on the net tonight, I envy him with his Zenith Transoceanic. That was the first shortwave radio I ever had. My grandfather gave it to me when I was a kid. And like most kids, I really didn't appreciate it enough. And I don't know what happened to it. I wish I did. But, Jeff, if I recall correctly, and I'm pretty sure I do, it was not a boat anchor, quote-unquote. It was all transistors. It was really ahead of its time. There were no tubes in that thing. And it was a really, really cool box. And, like I said, I'm kind of sad I still don't have it. As I've been just doing, this and that, working the conditions on 10 and 12, because as Rich said, they've been great. So, that's all I have to add to the discussion tonight. Back to you, 34EI, W4RKU, back to net.
Well, thanks for that, Kevin. Well, at least you got to experience that Zenith, and the good news is that even though you don't know where your original one that your granddad gave you went, it's something that perhaps you could pick up at somewhere at a Hamfest or something like that if one were to show up. So that would be really, really cool to be able to have something like that. That's an echo back to both your childhood and to your granddad. So, anyway, thanks for that. Let's see, K4SFT, Scott is in and out. And with that, Justin, NV3A, a really terrific presentation on Thursday. Thanks for doing that. And over to you from K4EI.
Good evening, Jeff and the rest of the net. Thanks for running the net.
This is MB3A, Justin. Don't really have any comments for the antenna question beyond what Rich already kind of covered. And as far as my activities, yeah, I've been kind of still playing around with Mestastic. Appreciate Horace's presentation on that. It was pretty good. Very good. It was great. What am I talking about? My activities for the week have been, went out and did a Virgin Summit in West Virginia. Picea benchmark ended with 5 QSOs, so barely eked it out, and it was a 6-hour total drive and then a 6.5 or 7-hour hike of about 18 miles, give or take. Not really, haven't pulled the total distance off of the trail GPS yet. My watch kind of messed up, and I kind of messed up by not starting it early, so I had 17.66, give or take, with a couple thousand feet of elevation. real great for 5 QSOs on VHF, but I know I'm beyond, there's a couple ridge lines between east of Skyline and where that is, so it was sort of anticipated. Anyway, did manage to finish it, and it was the first activation for that peak, so feel pretty good about that. And that's pretty much my activities of the week. Otherwise, still recovering from the trip in Colorado, and now I'm really recovering from the thing yesterday. Everything is sore. So I'll turn it back to you. K4EI, thanks for the net from NB3A.
Well, Justin, you really worked for those QSOs, it sounds like. Between the driving and the hiking, you put a lot of effort into it. So I guess it's like most things in life. The harder you work for something, the more you appreciate them. So that's quite something. So congratulations on that activation as well. So it's always cool when you can hit a milestone like that. Let's see here, KZ4TWB, Tim, your comments for the net tonight.
K4EI, this is KZ4TWB. As far as the AGC on my radio, I have the FT991, and so far, for right now, I just leave that at what the manual says, so everything's on automatic for it. What I've been doing this week is working some FT8, and what I've learned this week working that is, I have, when I transmit, I look through the different meters on my radio, and I notice that my ALC pegs every now and then. And so I did some reading up on that, and so I realized that I have to adjust the DT gain on my radio depending on what band I'm running on, so I don't peg out the ALC meter. So I'm doing some reading on that to understand what that means. And I'm kind of understanding things a little bit. There's a lot of features on this radio that I need to learn, so that's going to take a long time to learn, so I'm taking my time on it. But yeah, as far as ACG, I just leave it for what the manual says to leave it at for right now until I learn more about my radio. So that's pretty much all I got. This is KZ4TWB, back to net.
Well, thanks for that, Tim. And yeah, you know, I think most people probably leave the AGC at the defaults. And the good news is that most of the manufacturers have pretty much dialed in pretty much optimum settings for the majority of the people the majority of the time. So it works out pretty well. But also, as you mentioned, you know, having a new radio, it's something of a task to understand and appreciate all of its features and nuances and so on. It's one of the pleasures, I think, of enjoying a radio. So good on you for that. Let's see, Chuck, KO4VNZ, is no comment. WB7RAV is no comment. AD4IW is no comment. And with that, let's send it to KQ4EUI. Mike, over to you from K4EI.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. Good evening, and good evening to everyone on the net. This is KQ4EUI. With respect to the AGC question, I don't get on the air all that much, and I tend to have the philosophy of if it's not broken, don't fix it. So I haven't really felt the need to adjust anything on my radio. It seems to work just fine with the factory settings, other than programming in some memories. kind of with respect to the general activities, I come from a IT infrastructure and software background. I know nothing about radios. So I've been really enjoying a couple of very good YouTube presenters. One is called, I think it's Kilowatt KS. I think he's a electrical engineering professor from Kansas State University. He's got a really good set of videos that are useful for newbies like me on, and he's called, one's called Antenna Briefs, and one's called, I think it's called Radio Design. Those are both very good. Another good one is a chap out of Harvey Mudd University. He calls himself Prof. Jason, and he's got a really, really good series on SDRs with RTL SDR and Pluto SDR, I think he uses. And those are really good. So I've been pursuing those, trying to learn a little bit more about exactly what goes on inside the radios. And that's about all I have. Back to the net. Thanks again for taking it.
Well, thanks for that, Mike. Yeah, YouTube can be a great resource for all sorts of things. You know, it's funny when something comes up that's really out of the ordinary that you don't know how to do, whether it's a plumbing thing or a automobile thing or an electronic thing. The first thing many of us do is run to YouTube to see what we can find, because there truly is a lot of great information there. You know, I think one of the things with YouTube, though, is you have to have this kind of filter to figure out what's the really good stuff from the not-so-good stuff, because there's also some stuff that's presented pretty well, but sometimes doesn't hit all the boxes with the truth and wisdom. So it's figuring out what's what in terms of that kind of makes the difference sometimes. A lot of us here have worked in IT. I had a long career in IT, had a number of different jobs and functions and whatnot. So I find that IT marries up with radio technology and what we do in ham radio very, very well. So, again, thanks for your comments tonight. WABT, Travis, great to hear you. Over to you from K4EI.
Hey, good evening, Jeff, and all in the net. Thanks for joining the net. It's WABT. I will agree with Rich on the AEC, especially now owning K3. That definitely works out best for me. I notice also listening to shortwave stations or pirate stations, slowing down the AGC does make for a better listening experience. I do wish I had a wider filter, though, for some of that stuff. The 2.8 kilohertz filter kind of limits you a little bit sometimes. But I haven't done much this week. I did try to work Justin yesterday from Pinky, whatever it was he was on, but it just couldn't quite pull him out of the noise. I think Baldwin Ridge, where Mike KEF4TEK lives, might be one of the hindering things for me. It doesn't interfere with the repeater too much, but I've got to hold the HT just right here. Hope I'm making your repeater okay. But that's about it for me. Don't have too much else to report. Anyway, back to you, Jeff. K4EI, WABT.
Well, very good, Travis. And, yeah, you're making the end of the repeater just fine. Pretty much full quieting. And, yeah, great signal there. And great to hear you as usual. Let's see, Robert, K4GVH, your comments for the net this evening.
This is K4 Golf Victor Hotel, K4GVH. Good evening to everyone on the net this tonight. I'm sitting here at my dad's place here in the ham shack in my room, talking on the Motorola Astro, 2-meter Motorola Astro with B25 and regular repeater here. The mic's got a big crack in it down the side of it, like a big chip is broken out of the mic, so I got to figure out what the model number would be for this model, for this radio, so I could get me a better mic to go back on this radio. But I don't know if I'll find any mics for it or not. But other than that, I'm doing pretty well. Lost my aunt, you know, back here some time ago this summer. Lost my aunt on October, I mean October. Lost my aunt on August the 25th on a Thursday, I mean on a Friday morning. So my aunt's been gone a record while on my mom's side. She died at 56, so that's really going hard with me since I lost my aunt Penny. So really do miss her. And I'm sitting here with my dad tonight. Be going back home tomorrow evening. been here since Thursday, and I really enjoyed the weekend there. But other than that, you're doing a great job. I did work a few stations. Let me get this for GVH, and I did work a few stations, and I worked a station today over in Italy and over in the Vienna. I worked a station way over there in Vienna on HF, and that's across the pond, I guess. But other than that, I'm doing well, and Richie's got to come back to my dad soon and program one number back into my phone and get the one put in front of it instead of the just the number dialing it, and hopefully we can get that to work soon. And Mark's going to be trying to hook me up a boom on my MC60 microphone and a foot pedal. Hopefully that'll work out. If not, then I got to save my money up and buy a Howl mic. But I don't know how much they have run, and just got to see how that goes. Other than that, y'all take care on the net. Other than that, I'm doing pretty well. This is K4 Golf Victor Hotel, K4GVH here, Jeff, and thank you for picking me up. K4GVH and 73.
Well, thank you there, Robert. K4GVH from K4EI, and we're glad to hear you're able to make those contacts, and wish you well in getting your mic squared away there. And my condolences on the loss of your aunt. So losing family and friends is always a tough thing. And all we can do is enjoy the time we have with them. So enjoy your time with your dad. So again, great to hear you on the net this evening. Okay, well, that brings us to the end of the original list. Let's take any check-ins or additional check-ins or rechecks. If so, please call K4EI now.
K4EI, Kilo 4, Kilo November 4, Fox Tango Tango.
K2PI recheck.
Kilo Delta 4, Romeo Echo Echo.
Kilo Oscar 4, Lima Kilo Papa, recheck.
Okay, the first station was KQ4, and I didn't catch the suffix. Can you come back, please?
KQ4, KLA, Warren County.
Okay, well, I've got a bit of noise coming in there. Can you try again?
KQ4, KLA, Warren County.
Okay, I've got a Kilo Quebec 4, Kilo Lima Alpha. Is that correct?
10-4, that's correct.
Roger. Well, go ahead. Let me see. I've got you, and I've got KN4FTT. I've got K2PI on a recheck. I've got KD4REE, and I've got KO4LKP on a recheck. Any other check-ins or rechecks? Okay, nothing heard. Over to KQ4KLA.
KQ4KLA. We have Warren County. First time on the net yet. I've been on my wife at the very old camp back. And set up a rig here. She's doing retire. So hope to be on again. You on every Sunday at this time?
Yeah, that's correct, Warren. We're here every Sunday at 8 p.m. and every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Those are the two times for our net. Catch pretty much any of that last transmission. It's just very, very noisy. I tell you what, I'm going to circle back around to you after we clear the second part of the list here and see if perhaps we can hear you a little bit better then. Let's send it over to KN4FTT. Rick, your comments for the net this evening.
Roger that. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. KN4FTT, Rick up here in Marshall, Virginia. Sitting out on the front porch. I have a mag mount portable antenna sitting on a metal desk on the front porch. So I'm glad it's making the repeater. A friend of mine, when we used to live down in North Carolina, right outside of Camp Lejeune, a friend of mine that I worked with down there, he's just starting to get into the hobby, and so I've been spending a lot of time talking to him. He bought a couple of Baofengs. He's been listening, studying for his tech. And the funniest thing is he thought he'd get on eBay and try his hand at one of the auctions, and he figured he wasn't going to make it, and apparently he just won himself a shack in the box. So he's got a nice used ST-991 Alpha, and he was asking me 100,000 questions about, you know, the antennas and all that sort of stuff. So good to have another person coming back, you know, coming into the hobby. And anyway, that was that's all I got. And KU4SCT, back to Nick.
Well, very good, Rick. It's great to hear that your friend won the eBay auction, and that's his entree into ham radio. So that's terrific. So however we get there, right? Let's see, Harv and Glenn, I'm going to come right back to you guys after I pick up Sim, KB4RE. Sim, over to you from K4EI.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. Under that, I did go to the lung doctor last Thursday. He said my lung capacity for air isn't all that great, so he wants me to do some more tests in October. Maybe we'll get a diagnosis and start a treatment plan then. Other than that, I haven't been on the radio much due to the breathing issues, but I'm still looking at the WebSTR and the PSK reporter maps and the Whisper maps to see when the bands are open, and I guess I missed the 10-meter opening. But I'll try to listen to 10 meters when I get a chance. Back to you, Jeff, from KD4REE.
All right, very good, Sim, KD4REE from K4EI. And sorry to hear that you know, you're still having the challenges with your lungs and your breathing there, and hopefully the tests in October will shed some light on what's going on and be able to come up with a treatment plan that'll get you squared away. So fingers crossed for you, my friend. Let's send it back to Harv, K2PI. Over to you, Harv from K4EI. Chef, K4EI in the net from K2PI. And also my extension of the same feelings towards Sim. Hopefully things look better soon, and the health is on an upswing. I just wanted to make a couple of comments because I missed talking about the AGC, which was your primary question, Jeff. And AGC is great to have. I've used radios without it. You really don't want it not to be there, because when a really strong signal gets next to you, it'll blow your eardrums out, because about the only thing you have to modulate the strength of the audio coming through your receiver without AGC is the volume control, and that's you're never able to react fast enough with that. But AGC also does pick your signals if it's used without some knowledge. I think Rich mentioned this in passing, but there are times when it's best to change your AGC attack speed to fast, or on a noisy band when using sideband to slow, so that the receiver doesn't recover as fast down into the noise level, and you hear the signals much better without all the static breaking through every time somebody starts talking. Also, there are times when actually not even having AGC on is recommended, and I think FT8, I think WSJT recommends not even having AGC on. I know on certain modes that it really does help with the recovery of signals. And also for VFW, I wanted to mention I have two radios I love, like you mentioned. I have a Philco Hippo radio from 1947 that's been restored, and a 1946 Zenith 7H822, which is one of the very first AM-FM radios. It even has a big sticker on the back that says FM, the Armstrong system. That's how old it is. And it actually is a pretty decent FM receiver. It was a very limited run of radios that has a stylized eagle, rather than the normal Zenith logo, which they stopped using because people said it looked too much like the eagle that the Nazis used. Anyway, thank God for Sam's photo fax. You can still buy the service manuals for these for about $15 online, and it helped a lot in getting them restored. All right, back to net, K4EI, K2PI. Well, thanks for that addendum, Harv. And yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, any of those of us who've explored playing with AGC before can certainly testify to what you said, that if you turn it off and you're on a voice mode or something like that, where you're using your ears, it can be painful very, very quickly, much more quickly than you can turn it back on. So it's definitely a thing to use with some thought and caution. And KO4LKP, back over to you from K4EI.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I didn't say it the first time, but I wanted to say thank you to the guys at the meeting. I was able to attend the meeting the other night, and very professional presentations, very well done. I appreciate all the work they did into that. And also, I posed that question about the dipole, and I don't think I said it very clearly, but I think I've got the answer. But so I was going to use copper wires as the radiating medium. I was just going to use like copper wires, like regular. Only the metal pole was going to be the center vertical support. So, and of course, I'm going to insulate the, you know, make sure I'm insulated from the center support. But I just wanted to make sure that the there wasn't going to be any additional capacitance or in any way inhibit the good operation of a dipole antenna with a steel mast as the vertical. I think they've already answered the question, but I don't think I just stated it clearly. I think Rich came closest to understanding what I'm trying to do. So if there's any additional input, I would thank you for that. But again, thanks for the net, and I'll give it back.